We will spend some time tonight going through the meaning of those words, the different terminologies used to describe wisdom. And we will also make note before we start that there are two words used to describe man in the blessing. The language of the blessing is Atachun in La'adam Das. You give Adam, God endows Adam with wisdom. Mulamid La'enosh Bina, another word for a person. Enosh, God teaches him Bina. So in the art scroll I have in front of me, Adam is translated as man and Enosh is translated as frail mortal. We'll get back to that in a bit. But the common denominator of all the commentaries that Enosh is describing man in a lesser state or lower state than Adam. Okay, so that is just a couple of things that we'll cover tonight. We'll start the shir with a piece from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz was a rabbi in various communities in Europe in the mid-1700s, very well known for one of the more unfortunate incidents in Jewish history in the past few hundred years. He had a very public machlokas or argument with Rav Yaakov Emden. Interesting piece of history to go through. This is something which consumed Europe for many years. In any case, we'll focus on his teachings rather than the controversies. He has a book of lectures called the Yaros Dvash. The Yaros Dvash are lectures which are probably on average about 30 pages long. So apparently in the communities in which he lectured in Central Europe, people were able to listen to lectures for, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. These are really long lectures. In any case, we'll keep this one short, or just a brief piece of it. As an introduction to wisdom, this is the first blessing of the Bakashos, of the requests of the Shemona Esrei. This is the first request we make of God in the Shemona Esrei is for wisdom. So clearly, this is the basis of our lives, is that we can have insight and understanding into what we do. Having wisdom, having an understanding of our world, of the correct way to act, of how to, you know, make peace with what occurs in life, all these are parts of wisdom. And when a person has all of these, he can be a happy person. You know, they say money doesn't buy happiness, but it's a nice down payment. In any case, for a person who has no insight into anything that's going on around him, the money will do nothing for him. You need to have wisdom. You need to have all the different forms of wisdom for a person to be happy and well-adjusted and lead a well-adjusted life. So the first thing we ask for is wisdom. Now he quotes a medrash. The medrash says that when God wanted to create man, the angel said, "Ma enosh ki siskarenu." So once again, using this term enosh, which is found in the blessing of Atachonin, Atachonin la'adam das, umalami la'enosh bina. And the angels are referring to man in this derogatory term of enosh. And God says that man has great wisdom, and go see, because when I asked man to give himself a name to identify himself, he called himself Adam. Why is that? Demonstrating man's wisdom. The term Adam means earth. It is a point to man's physicality. So why is pointing to man's physicality something which displays his wisdom? Because man was asked to use his wisdom to describe himself. He describes himself by the physical part of himself. And the idea being that that physical part, based on the wisdom that man has, can be a full and rich and spiritual life. So a man can be a physical human being, and yet, because he is endowed with enough wisdom, he can transform that into something positive. So we say, Atachonin Adam Das, we are referring to this term Adam. God gives man wisdom. He's Malamed L'Enosh Bina. He gives man, we'll get back to these terms of Das and Bina in a few minutes. He gives even man, who is not in a fully mentally developed state, some form of insight. And because man has this capacity to use his wisdom to elevate his life and to give himself meaning and depth to everything that he does, that is a demonstration of the capability that man has. And then he continues. He says that if one is to ask God for wisdom and insight, if one were to misuse that wisdom, that would be like asking your neighbor for a big stereo. This is not his terms, my terms, and then playing that stereo at 4 o'clock in the morning. So if we're going to ask God for wisdom, we're going to ask God for the ability to understand things, to perceive things, to gain insight into things, We should then, if this is the ultimate tool that man has, use that tool in a manner that would be in accordance with God's will. He ends off, he says that man should have in mind that his wisdom should be used properly. He should have in mind that his children should be in touch with the wisdom of the divine, with the wisdom of the Torah. We pray every day in the blessings of the Torah, which we recite in the Brachas HaShachar and the blessings of the morning, that God should endow us, our descendants, the descendants of all the Jewish people, with the wisdom of the Torah. So we should have in mind that we should have this wisdom, all the Jewish people should have this wisdom, and we should hope for the eventual era in which there is so much wisdom, in which, using the terminology of the Zohar, there is the Dardea, the generation of knowledge, which will merit the coming of the Mashiach. So this is an introduction. I will now share with you a couple of very sharply worded phrases from the Gemara and the Midrashim describing people who fail to utilize their intelligence. There's a Gemara Masachas Nedarim which says that B'marav Amri, in the West they say, the West is not the United States. In Gemara terminology, Gemara is written in Babylonia, the West is Israel. It was a phrase in Israel. D'dabe kula be, he who has it, wisdom has everything. D'loida be, he who does not have it, ma be, what does he have? D'akani, he who has acquired wisdom, ma chaser, what is he missing? D'aloikani makani, if he has not acquired it, he's acquired nothing. Sounds a little better in the original Aramaic, but that's the gist of it. Very sharply worded line, the Gemara in Brachas says that the Dea, wisdom, is given between the names of God, Kikel Deos Hashem. The Gemara says, anybody who does not have wisdom, Asur L'Rachem Alav, it is forbidden to have mercy on him. Now, clearly the Gemara is not referring to people who are lacking in intelligence or people who are disabled in whatever form. The Gemara is referring to people that have the ability to have insight and yet refuse to utilize their natural abilities. There's a Medrash which says, "Kol Talmud Chacham, any Torah scholar she'en by das, which does not have wisdom, neveil tovei menu, a dead carcass, a dead animal carcass is better than him." And what this means is, you have a scholar who's studied Torah, who's participated in Torah study and in the fundamentals of Torah study. And this Torah scholar is a person who does not act properly, who does not utilize that wisdom to make himself act like a mensch, act like a proper person. He is in the language of the commentators in the Medrash, he is a hafachvach, he is a person who keeps on switching his mind, who is a person who doesn't have darach eretz, a person who doesn't act with the manners that are becoming of a person of intelligence. This is somebody who the Medrash is referring to, who is a talmid chacham, who is a scholar who does not have das. So what we see clearly is that das, wisdom, is not just the ability to quickly compute large mathematical equations in your head. That is part of das, but complete wisdom is a person who has insight into behavior, who has insight into society, who has insight into how his behavior is perceived, and is a person who utilizes wisdom to act like a good person. Now we will give a basic background. We'll start with Nusach Sfard, and I'll explain why in a second, and then we will move on to Nusach Ashkenaz to explain the terminology, starting with Nusach Sfard, of Chachma Bina Vadas. Those are the three terms of wisdom used in Nusach Sfard, and then we'll move on to Nusach Ashkenaz of Dea Bina Vahaskel. The reason I start with Nusach Sfard is because the language of Nusach Sfard, of Chachma Bina Vadas, is seemingly the language found both in a Mishnah in Masachas Avos and in a Pasuk in Parashas Kisisa. This seems to be the common terminology found in both the Chumash and the Mishnah to describe, so to speak, the spectrum of wisdom. The Mishnah Masachas Avos in the third parak says, in the name of Reb Eliezer ben Azariah, "Em ein Torah ein darach eretz." If there's no Torah, there is no proper mannerisms. "Em ein darach eretz im Torah." If there's no proper mannerisms, there's no Torah. Person needs to both be a decent person in society and their connection to Torah. Then the Mishnah continues, "Im ein chachma ein yira, im ein yira ein chachma." We less chachma. "Im ein bina ein das." Then we less bina. "Im ein das." "Im ein das ein bina." So we have a list of chachma, We have Bina and we have Das. Chachma Bina Vadas is the language that Nusach Sfard uses in their in the blessing of Atachonim. In fact, the Chabad, Hasidim, the acronym for Chabad is Chachma Bina Vadas. They're kind of trumpeting their Nusach Sfard use, as they call it Nusach Ari. But that seems to be the language of the Mishnah. And the commentaries explain, and I will give a brief explanation for what those words mean, Chachma Bina and Das, that Chachma is somebody who has knowledge. He understands facts. Bina is the ability to extrapolate information or to extrapolate an idea from a given set of information. So Rashi says, what does this mean? If you show a shulchani is a money changer, a coin, and he can say, well, this is a, you give him a coin, you tell him this is from valid currency, and then he can point to another coin and kind of get the information from that and use that to accurately define another coin to see if that's a good coin. So you show him something, he has an idea as a fact, and now he can use that fact and use that to connect it to another piece of, to another set of information and use it to accurately kind of decide what's what. So that's Chachma. Chachma is knowing a fact, knowing a piece of knowledge. Bina is being able to extrapolate from that information to another set of circumstances. And Das, which is the final one, is insight, is to be able to describe why that is. So first you can give somebody a fact and he can repeat it to you. He may have very little insight into what that means. You can memorize things, you know, memorize statistics, but not really know anything, not really have any useful way to utilize that information. Bina, once again, is taking that information and to be able to kind of connect it to a new set of parameters. And then Das is to be able to provide the insight, the explanation as to why that connection exists and to be able to draw up an explanation for it. There is a language, the language of a Sifri, along the same lines, using to describe these terms, that the difference between somebody who has Chachma and who has Bina somebody who has kind of a basic piece of information and somebody has the more advanced piece of information where you can use that to further it to a new set of circumstances is the difference between a businessman who, if you give him an opportunity, you give him a product, he'll sell it. And then there's a businessman who, once he's learned how to do business, if he doesn't have a product to sell, he'll find a new product to sell. So that's somebody who take, you know, okay, this is how you do it. You sell to the customer, you're pleasant to the customer, you have to have merchandise, which is good for him. And then you need to find the merchandise which customers want. So you're kind of moving on to a new set of circumstances. You're finding new business opportunities. That would be Bina. That's the second level. And Das, the final level, is somebody who could, you know, kind of write that business book using to describe the methodology of business. He doesn't just have it intuitively, he can actually describe it, you know, in a kind of like a thesis and use that as, you know, as a set of information which he could, you know, pass on to other people and the such. Now there's a pasuk in Chumash which uses the same terms, and that is found in Parshas Kisisa, referring to Bezalel. Bezalel was the individual who built the Mishkan, built the tabernacle, and the pasuk says, God telling Moshe about Bezalel, see, I have called by a name, Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. Amalia Saruch, Elohim, I filled him with a godly spirit. Bechachma, betuna, ubedas. Once again, the same thing. Chachma, bina, and das. And we have an interesting thing. Rashi says, similarly to what he described in Masechus Avos, the Chachma is getting a piece of information. Bina is to be able to extrapolate and use that information in another set of circumstances. And das, Rashi says, is Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. We'll get to that in a second. What does that mean? How are we describing Das as being divine inspiration? So what I think Rashi means is the following, and this is in particular to something as lofty and special as the Mishkan, where we would describe Das, the real true insight, the real true understanding of a concept or an idea, with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration. So I think we can describe it with a Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra writes, that on the day that the temple was destroyed, this is referring to the first temple, Nitna Nevuah Min HaNeviim, prophecy was taken from the prophets, V'nitna L'Chachamim, it was given to the wise. And the Gemara says, Atu Chacham Lav Navihu, is a prophet not wise? So the Gemara says what this means is that certainly prophets were wise, but there no longer exists prophecy. There's no, the power of prophecy no longer exists as was known then to full prophets. There is an idea of prophecy, an idea of a divine wisdom, which is connected to Chachamim. The point which the Gemara says that Chacham is Adaf Minavi, that the wise person is greater than the scholar. And the Gemara says that the Gemara says that people have insights into their Torah study or whatnot that is so profound and so earth-shattering that we would have to use the divine to say that, you know, this person's wisdom is of divine origin. And the Ramban, in his commentary on Masechet Bava Basra, really says that this is exactly what the Gemara means. There are people who are given such insight and such wisdom to the point where that wisdom is beyond what a human being can simply, you know, attain in his life. And if you look at the, you know, incredible Torah scholars and you look at what they've accomplished, it's mind-boggling the level of achievement that they had. And that we can describe as being, you know, it's not a superpower in the sense that they can see through walls or they can fly, but that's wisdom of such a profound nature that we would use prophecy as a description for it. They're so powerful in their chachma. They've been granted such insight by God that this is just like, you know, this is prophecy. That's the term we would use to describe it. There is I saw recently, there's an interesting letter that the Netziv wrote. There was a children of a rabbi who had passed away. And this rabbi did not want his halachic rulings printed. And he said that some of these rulings were printed, you know, while somebody had a question for him that needed to be answered quickly. And, you know, he didn't necessarily have what he felt was the proper time to look in the subject. He had to answer the question because there was a need for an answer. So he didn't want these answers to be published. You know, he'd written down his halachic logic or whatnot. And then Netziv wrote that we can assume that a competent person who is required to decide matters of halachic importance is given siyata d'shmaya, heavenly assistance, that he will come to the proper conclusion. After all, you know, rabbis get questions and they sometimes do not have, you know, 5 hours to sit in the study hall and answer the questions. So they do what they could. They put their years in and their decades in into studying. And it should be assumed that they're going to be given siyata d'shmaya, kind of like a heavenly assistance, so to speak, that they'll come to the right conclusions. So one doesn't have to assume that in such circumstances that the halachic conclusions that this rabbi, you know, came to were somehow incorrect or not with the proper depth. It's a fascinating idea, he writes, that, you know, we should assume that if God put rabbis into a position where they would have to decide halakhic issues, that they're going to get siyata d'shmaya, they're going to get divine assistance, that they will have the wisdom and the insight into deciding that properly. So I'll just end off this little piece of there being this kind of this concept of divine assistance, you know, be it as it will, in halakhic rulings from a series of Gemaras describing David HaMelech, King David. Gemara in Sanhedrin writes that the description the prophet gives for David was something that was Yodei Lahashiv Ish Mochama Sheyodei Lisa Elitin Mamachamta Shatara. He David had this great ability in discussing Torah matters. And the end of the description that the prophet gives for David is Vashem Imo, God is with him, which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin is Shalacha Kamosa B'chamakom. David, King David, was also a great scholar. And he was able to draw the correct conclusions when he answered halakha questions. The Gemara says that if a person says, Yagati v'lo matzasi, I have tried, I've toiled, and I've not successfully accomplished in Torah, do not believe him. I have not toiled, and I've discovered in Torah, don't believe him. Yagati matzasi, if a person has toiled and found in Torah, believe him. Basically, if a person puts effort in, he will always find something in the Torah. Now, however, the Gemara says that in regards to Lachav and Shmai Saliv the Hilchasa, to be able to come to the correct conclusion on halachic matters, to draw the correct conclusion in a halachic debate or halachic subject, that requires Siyata Deshmaya, that will only be granted to somebody who heaven feels it is appropriate to be gifted with that ability and that final insight. And what do we know about David HaMelech in regards to his halachic rulings? The Gemara says something very interesting in Masechet Brachos, that David, whenever he was presented with a halachic question, this is after he was a king already, he wasn't sure of the answer, he would, even though he was the king, go to his teacher, Mephibosheth, and ask him if he was drawing the correct conclusions. David was not embarrassed to admit he was wrong. He had the humbleness and the modesty to go and double check with other scholars and with his teachers that he was drawing the correct conclusions. Now, if you're a regular person, that's not a big deal. If you're a king and somebody asks you a question in public and you say, you know, I think I know the answer, but I'd just like to speak it over with, you know, some of the other scholars to double check, that is something which requires a great deal of character development. So certainly becoming that somebody with that degree of character development is somebody who was granted das, the final insight to draw the correct halakhic conclusions, which once again, as Rashi says, is something we can describe as Ruach HaKodesh. It is a divine spirit, not divine spirit in the sense that you're, once again, have X-ray vision, but you are granted this kind of like the highest levels of wisdom, which God will give man. And that comes from somebody who was both put effort into his studies, but also somebody who, as we see from David HaMelech, has had the proper character development. He is that person who is both Torah and Derech Eretz. He's a well-developed person. He is a humble person or whatnot, who deserves to have these great mental abilities. Okay, so we'll move on to Nusach Ashkenaz, just to cover our bases. So once again, we described the Chachma Bina Vadas, which is found once again both in the Mishnah and Avos, and in the Pasuk and Parshas Kisisa describing Bezalel. The Dea Bina Vahaskel of Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't really seem to come from a Pasuk, that series of three words. The word Haskel is not a particular Seichel, maybe a common expression. In Yiddish, you tell somebody, you know, you don't have any Seichel. It's not a particularly common word found in the scriptures. We will mention the place where it is, and then we will describe what it means and how that's used in the context of the version that Nusach Ashkenaz says for this blessing. The prophet Yirmiyah, in the 9th chapter of Yirmiyah, which is the Haftorah we read on Tisha B'Av by day, ends on the end of the Haftorah that we read on Tisha B'Av by day, is Koyamar Hashem, so said Hashem, so said God, Al Yishal Chacham B'Chachmaso, the wise person should not praise himself with his wisdom, Al Yishal Hagibur B'Gvuraso, the strong person should not praise himself with his strength, Al Yishal Asher B'Ashro, the wealthy person should not praise himself with his wealth, this is something which a person should praise himself with. Haskel, the Yadoa Osi, the word Seichel. So once again, a Chacham, a wise person should not praise himself. Who should praise himself? Haskel, the Yadoa Osi. So here we have a contrast between Chachma and Haskel and Seichel. There is it's kind of an obscure commentary, a very beautiful one, from Rabbi Yosef Yavetz, who was a Sephardi, who lived in the late 1400s, early 1500s. He actually had to leave, I think, Portugal during the Inquisition. I think he ended up in Italy, if I have my history correct. He has a commentary on Avos called the Chassid Yavetz. Not the easiest of the commentaries on Avos to read, but he has a beautiful insight into the term Haskel V'Yadoosi. He says the following. Chachma bina das, we end off with das. Das is wisdom. Yet we find the prophet saying, das, yada sharkaneo yisrael yada, the ox knew its master, the Jewish people did not know me. Whereas the prophet Yirmiyah says, haskel v'yadoa osi. What he says, what this means is, das is a person who understands things. He has insight. Haskel is a term used for a person who is utilizing that insight for the proper purposes, which is why we can say Yada Sharkaneo, Yisrael Yada, the Jewish people did not know me. They may have conceptually known me, they may have philosophically known me, but practically they did not put that wisdom, they did not implement that wisdom into their lives. But Haskel Yadoa Osi is not the Chacham who is Mishal B'Chachmaso, the wise person who is proud of his own personal wisdom. It's Haskel Yadoa Osi. It's the Seichel, it's the kind of the application the proper application for using that wisdom for what God intended it to be used. So putting the language of Nusach Ashkenaz, so although in the language of the Psukim, it's Chachma, Bina, and Das, Das being the final wisdom, Nusach Ashkenaz starts with Deya, not Das. Deya is an incomplete form of Das. So he starts with the basics of Das, but it's Deya. He moves on to Bina. Eventually, in the language of Nusach Ashkenaz, he gets to Haskel, where he's not only a complete person in that he has Das and the complete understanding and insight into matters, but it's Haskel in the language of the prophet of Haskel Vidoosi, where he is using that Chachma, he's using that wisdom for the proper purposes that God intended him to use it for, to improve society, to better his insights, to better his character, to better his environment, or whatnot. That is a person who we call a person who has Seichel, to the point where the prophet can say, Haskel Vidoosi, you know me, not in an abstract form or in a philosophical form, but you've taken that abstract and philosophical idea to a practical level where you can utilize the Chachma, utilize the wisdom that you ask God to give you to make yourself and the world around you something better than it was before. We'll stop with this and open up the floor to questions or discussion points.
Rabbi?
Yes.
In Nusach Ashkenaz, there's a reference to the Vilna Gaon in the commentary at the bottom in the art scroll.
Opening mine up.
So I think it's page 102, maybe. So is he talking about an intellectual power or a something beyond that, discernment for the Haskell?
Well, I actually have the sheet of the Vilna Gaon's commentary in front of me. I might be cut off, but if I have that language, I will take a look in the Hebrew version of it. Ooh, mine's cut off.
They translate it as intellectual discernment for...
Oh, here I have it.
The
Laman Taska B'chol Asher Telech. Actually, I would the way the commentary, as I have it in front of me, seems to be from my chopped up photocopy, is the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, which we quoted, that Leukmi Girsa is Siata Dishmayahu. To come to proper conclusions in a halachic subject requires kind of this divine assistance, if you will. So it's more than just an intellectual one. It's an intellectual one, which is not just something which is creative or interesting or powerful, but somebody who's drawing the proper and correct conclusions. So maybe art school not having enough room to fully write that, just wrote it as an intellectual discernment. But it is an intellectual discernment. You know, this is not like some sort of magical, the answer appeared to me in the, you know, flaming letters or something in a vision. This is intellectual discernment, but it is an intellectual discernment in which you're really having like the proper, accurate take on something. So much so that your halachic insights are correct. Is an incredible thing to do. To be able to draw the proper conclusions in a halachic discussion requires not just, you know, somebody who's creative and brilliant, but somebody who has, you know, all those fine-tuned insights to really get to the proper and to the proper way of looking at something.
So is it proper also in the moral sense?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that would be the kind of the full, you know. Hi, Avi, are you raising your hand?
I raised my hand. I have several questions, but I'd prefer if somebody else wants to utilize the time first. If not, I'll be happy to bug you.
Go for it. Remember, I only answer what I know.
Okay. Why do we call our rabbis chachamim and not maskilim, which is obviously used certainly today in the opposite sense?
So that is a funny point you're raising, that the the Enlightenment or the secular, kind of Enlightenment was called maskilim or haskel, which the prophet uses it in the exact opposite context. I don't know who came up with that terminology. It's interesting that they call, in Israel, they call electricity chashmal. Chashmal is one of the classes of angels. It's kind of like they pull the name out of a hat because it sounds fiery or something. I don't know. I'm not sure where the term chachamim comes from. We do find it in, the Gemara uses it as a kind of an expression for wise people. Chachma does seem to be kind of like an overall term. Chacham Adaf Minavi, the expression of the Gemara, is it's probably more of like the encompassing term for wisdom. I think if you look in the, they call it Bina. I don't have a Shulchan Aruch in front of me. I think it's called the Bracha of Chachma. That's so like the terminology used to describe it. So if you were going to use one simple term. So getting back to that snow analogy that we started with, if you have powdery snow and fluffy snow and wet snow, there's also just snow. So chachma may just be that term, which is kind of the all-purpose word. And that's why instead of getting into, super technical details, we just call scholars chachamim.
That would also explain why the Sfardim call them not necessarily Rav, but chacham.
Right.
It would also explain why Shlomo is Chacham Mikol Adam and not whatever. It would not, however, explain why we don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Chachma at the beginning. You say, Atachon Elodam Das, Umalameh Lenosh Bina, and then you say, okay, while we're on the subject, Chaneinu Mi'etvodeya Bina, I'm sorry, Chachma Bina Adas, which right. The Ashkenaz don't even bother with.
Right.
And
Ashkenaz doesn't leave out the Chachma completely. That's okay. It's a little easier sound as you're going through this using the Nusach Sfard, because it is the more common, set of words found in various sources.
Yep.
I think the answer to that, why we start with Atachonin L'Adam Das instead of Chachma, is once again the connotation of Adam is a more complete one than Enosh. So you have Atachonein la'adam das is like kind of like this is like the highest level, but also malamid la'enosh bina. There's stages before that which even an enosh, which is a description of a kind of like a less complete or less developed person, gets bina as well. We kind of recognize not everybody will necessarily get that das, but even bina happens to people, and whatever level we can achieve it at, whatever level we're ready to receive it from God, we're kind of asking from whatever would be proper for us to get.
My feeling is that those words are really just synonyms that don't have the explicit distinctions that are being pointed out. You have, for example, Ashenasad la sechve bina la'afkin. So you have the rusta has bina, which according to Chabad makes zero to negative sense, and then lahavchin is to understand, I guess. I don't know. At any rate, okay, I've beaten that.
Okay, this is a good question. Okay. Why we use that with a rooster? You're right.
Okay,
but I'm not
quoting
kind of exotic sources for this. This is Rashi basically uses these descriptions both in Avos and in. And in the Torah. So, there's plenty of others that go along with similar ideas and, kind of elaborate on it. But it does seem to be a general trend. I'm not saying this is the only way to look at it, but.
And yet the rooster has been up. Okay.
Finally, it's an alarm clock,
Okay. Why does the bracha end with Chonein Ha Das? What's the ha? It seems to indicate or imply that there is a specific wisdom that atachonein, whereas you started by saying atachonein das.
Right. I mean, this is I thought, although I'm not a world-class expert on this, Because, you know, just in the diktuk, this is a kind of like a terminology. I did ask somebody about this and he thought I was correct. We have this hey in many of the endings of the brachos. Haka kadosh, harotze b'shuva, chanun hamar b'lesloach. And we're kind of like an emphatic way of saying something. God is the grantor of like the wisdom. It's just like an expressive term you use to end something off. It's of the, you know, if you will, in English. So rather than a request to which we're doing, or a communication, so to speak, and we're saying, you, God, you do this, you do that, please give us this. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, who is the grantor of the wisdom. It's more of like a description or a you know, kind of a praise rather than a communicative way of talking.
Actually, it's the comment that you made 2 weeks ago, which is the same one you just made.
Yeah.
Which is what brought this to me, because this is not Hachonin Das, which
right. It's Chonin Hadas, exactly like he's the grantor of the.
Chonin Hadas is totally different from Hachonin Das.
Right, because Chonin is a grantor. It's God is the grantor because it's His wisdom, you know. So it's you know, kind of we're sourcing wisdom to God. So it's Chonin Hadas, you're the person who gives, you know, all of this wisdom which you have. So if we're going to use it to describe God, He is the one of the wisdom, rather than just the, you know, putting the hay on the chonein. He is like the benevolent one. It's more going on the power what's contained in here. Whereas in tshuva, we would do harotze b'tshuva because it's the action of the tshuva, which we're pointing out as you know, God is this forgiver. Here it's just He's the grantor of the wisdom. It's His wisdom.
And also Chanun and Chonein, I think, are related in some sense. So there you don't have.
Well, there the hay is on Hamarve. You know, it's on the.
That's right. The doer.
I did have a conversation with somebody about this. You know, who's. I mean, I would consider him to be a big expert on diktuk. We were theorizing along the same lines. Neither of us were sure if this was true, and neither of us could find any sources that really talked about much about this. So if I will continue looking on these, you know, ending of the blessing questions. We'll see if we manage to scrounge up something new. I guess we'll have to keep it in this possible explanation state so far.
I thank you. Maybe I made a mistake starting all this Eilun B'Tfilah. Too many questions, not enough answers.
Rabbi?
That's like a lot of things, yes.
Actually, a question can also be an answer, right?
Yes.
Especially in Yiddish.
I don't know if you explained this. I had to leave momentarily. The difference between da'at and hada'at in the Nusach Sfard. Did you go over that?
Meaning the hada'at at the end of the blessing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so where I was just talking with Avi about this. You find this hay at the, you know, stuck in at the ends of, you know, it's Hakel HaKadosh, it's Harotze B'Shuva, it's Hanun Hamar B'Lesloach. It seems to be like an emphatic way of saying that, you know, God is the grantor of the wisdom. You know, well, I think, I don't know if I'm right, that, you know, when we talk directly, or Ata Chonin, you give, please can we have, we don't use those hays, but when we end off the blessings, blessed are you Hashem, who is the grantor of the wisdom, it's more of like kind of like more of like a grandiose terminology or more of like a, you know, stronger language, you are the grantor of the wisdom. You know, we're not asking, we're not saying, please give us wisdom, and you wouldn't talk that way, you know, please give us the wisdom. It might be more of like a stylistic type of idea than a you know, like a changing of the meaning of the word.
That's interesting. So two examples.
I'm sorry. Go on.
It's interesting that you said the grantor of the wisdom.
Right. It's really grantor of the. Right? It's not Hachonin. Correct.
And that's the whole point of the question.
Yeah. So, well,
okay.
When we do tshuva, God willing, next week, we'll focus maybe more on why the, you know, there's an emphasis on the harotze b'tshuva.
Correct.
Right. There it's a little different. There it's the desirer of tshuva. So that is a difference. We'll get to that next week. Talk about that blessing. That is a distinction between the two.
Two examples of knowledge. One, a savant who may have a lot of knowledge about dates or mathematics that's automatic and may be very limited to that domain. But socially, there may be some issues. For example, some autistic people are savants. Another example is an entrepreneur. So I was wondering how those two examples would fit into Chochma, Bina, and Da'at.
As I briefly mentioned a medrash, I didn't explain it. I didn't go on a great length about this. The medrash says that a person who can do a given set of tasks, somebody who has, we can describe as having chachma, he has some sort of knowledge, he has some sort of skill set. Somebody, and the medrash seems to be describing somebody who would really be an entrepreneur. It says somebody who has a business experience, and then when that business experience passes, creates a new business experience within which to make money. So he finds a new angle in the market or a new product or whatever, is somebody who has bina. He is somebody who is taking a set of knowledge and then kind of moving it to a new set of parameters and doing something new with it. So that's bina. That's a person who's taking, so he understands a little bit about business. But now I'm in a new situation. That product isn't selling anymore. Let me find something new. Let me find a new angle, a new service, a new store, a new look or whatever it is. And he creates something new. He's taking a given set of information from the chachma and taking that to bina, which is the second step. And once again, the das is a person who really can, get the full insight into why that works and explain it and really, describe it in its fullest and most complete terms. So the use of chachma is that. And, you have people who have wisdom, which is savant-like, who also have the ability to apply it, who are incredible geniuses, but also have that practical knowledge and that ability to kind of adjust the knowledge. And that's taking the chachma to the next levels of bina and das. I remember hearing an interesting description. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was a very great Lithuanian rabbi who came over to North America in the late 30s, right before World War II. And he was known in his yeshiva years as a brilliant genius. And one of his colleagues said about him that the most special thing about him is he's so normal. Like you meet him and he doesn't see, a lot of really, really smart people are a little awkward or a little, they're a little, whatever it is. And he was, socially, just fully acclimated and everything. And people used to, seek his advice on all sorts of practical issues and kind of understood, he was, you could speak to him about business. And he was also, a very, very brilliant genius, and abstract and, whatnot, concepts and this and that. So there are people who have an incredible amount of chachma, but develop it to the point where it becomes bina and das. And that's a very special thing. And some people, if they recognize that their chachma is somehow not turning into bina and das, they can concentrate a little harder during this blessing. Hopefully they'll be given that little assistance, where their wisdom, their knowledge is, they're able to use it practically. They're able to utilize it in a manner which is, constructive. Having knowledge in a vacuum is a lot less fulfilling than being able to take knowledge and apply it to the world and then do something with it. So.
So an inventor might find value in this prayer in particular.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, another story, I think it was also for Rabbi Kamenetsky. He had a sharp line. He said, he used to pray for his Torah studies and, in Atachone. And once he got his job as a rabbi and as a teacher, he eventually taught in Yeshiva in Brooklyn called Torah Vadas. He said, then he had to pray for it in Baruch Aleinu also. Then he had to pray that was also, if his lectures weren't any good, he'd be out of a job. So it was both a financial issue and a wisdom issue. So you can have in mind as an inventor, as an entrepreneur, that you should be, you should have successful ideas, both in Atachonin and Baruch Aleinu. It's, it's not just for the fulfillment, you got to pay your bills also. So. All right, everybody. Well, have a great night. We'll see you all next week, God willing.
Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
God willing, next week.